Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
So I shall share my understanding about the topic faith and justice in Buddhism. Okay, now the Buddha's teaching basically is about natural laws. When the Buddha got enlightened, he discovered the natural laws, which is timeless, which is there before the Buddha got his enlightened and after. So it is there. It is just like gravity. It is just like the round thing can roll on. It's as cube. It's difficult. You can't make a cube, make a wheel out of it. So it's a natural law. Things still operate. People suffer because not understanding how nature works. And the main thing the Buddha strive long, an arduous journey to get enlightened, to understand nature law, is to help all beings to be free from suffering. So after he got enlightened, he thought about nature laws, the first thing, what is there. I'll share a little bit later. Then he thought about not only the natural laws, also the methods to discover nature law. Because he has no monopoly of this enlightenment. Anybody, as long as they make effort, as long as they sharpen their mind, they train their mind, they can also have a chance to realize natural laws. It is so important. Why? For the sake of liberation from suffering. This is the most important concern for all the Buddhas. Not only Gautama Buddha, all the Buddhas. The main concern is to be free from suffering. Because as we understand, all beings, all living beings, not only human beings, we all long for happiness and we loathe, we don't want suffering. So this is all about the main thing about the Buddha's teaching. First about nature laws, but not enough. Because if we are told about nature laws without having a chance to realize it ourselves, then we can only believe. But the faith, when we talk about the faith for the Buddhists, it is not only about belief. We are taught to transcend, to cultivate, to transcend from the level of belief to knowing. So he could not only teach us natural laws, but also the methods to realize natural law ourselves, as clear as we see the sun and moon and stars in the sky, for the sake of liberation from suffering. Now we talk about faith. The Buddhists look at faith differently. It is not possible for everyone to have the same level of faith immediately, just when we come to a religion. It's not easy. So faith develops along the way, from level to level. So for the Buddhists, we are not required to say suddenly, I must have this much faith, unshakable faith. And we know it is not possible. So basically, before realization of truth, of realities of nature, we have one level of faith, which we call belief. I believe in this. It makes sense to me. It appears reasonable. So because of that, it feels good. Then we have some kind of faith towards the teaching. But we cannot stop at this level. If we stop at this level, there's no way we can be totally free from suffering, because we don't realize, and without realization, there's no liberation is possible. So then we have to follow the method, a systematic method, to discover by direct experience what the Buddha taught. For example, about rebirth. Is there rebirth or not? Do we have to believe in rebirth? Or can we realize it and see it as clear as we see the sun and moon and stars in the sky? then, well, it is okay. When we come into Buddha's teaching, it is okay to have some reservation. No, okay, I may not accept it all. No. So then the experiment comes, the methods come. So if we apply the methods, systematic method, by cultivating virtues, by cultivating concentration, and by cultivating wisdom, then we have a chance to realize that after realization, when we see rebirth ourselves, when we see the law of causes and effect ourselves, when we see what the Buddha promises, that if we practice along the way, eventually we will come to liberation from suffering. We see there are many stages. Until the final stages, we can completely be free from the rounds of birth and death and realize, come to the eternity, eternal nibbana, or in Sanskrit, it's a nirvana. Maybe you are more familiar with the terms nirvana, but in the Pali, the Buddha's language, it's a nibbana. It's the same. It basically means a bit same. So after realization, you see, oh, there's actually a way out. There's a way out. Because I know directly myself, this is the way out. I don't need to suffer round and round again. Then at that time, faith becomes a very different thing. Faith becomes some kind of, more like at the beginning, it's belief. Then it slowly transcends until we know very surely. Then it is more like a kind of confidence. So, in order to give a further elaboration and further understanding about this thing called the Buddhist way of faith, I need to introduce a Kalama Sutta to you. This is also commonly known as the Buddha's Charter of Free Inquiry. So in these suttas, there's a quite lengthy one, but the gist, the important point I will mention, the Buddha went to meet this group of people called Kalamas. Then Buddha said, Kalama. So this is also called Kalama Sutta. Come, Kalama. Do not go by tradition. Because at that time, these Kalama people, they have a lot of doubt. I get this teacher telling me this is right. All others are wrong. The other teacher came to me and tell, this is right. All others are wrong. Then who am I going to believe? They have this doubt. Then they say, Buddha, please tell us, who should I believe? Whom should I believe? Then the Buddha said, come, Kalamas, do not go by tradition. Ma anusavena. Do not go by any lineage of teaching. Just because this is a teaching handed down. No, do not go by that. Do not go by hearsay. Just because you hear many people telling you. No, do not go by that. Ma paramparaya, ma itikiraya. Nor by collection of scriptures. Not because it is given in the books, in the scriptures, in the holy text. Just because it is given in the holy text, you believe. No, not even in the holy text. Nor by logical reasoning. Even it seems very logical to you. That is not sufficient reason for you to say, well, this is it. It must be true. No. Nor even by inferential reasoning. Even if it's various way of the workings of the mind, your inferential reason, examination of reason, acceptance of view after pondering it. This is in the Indian philosophy. In the Indian, the Buddha came from India. There are various ways of understanding, finding, and using the mind, the reasoning. So it all comes under common term we call reasoning, the workings of the mind, the thinking power. So all these four classes of thinking power. So even with all kinds of mental concoction, you work this way and work that way and think this way and think that way, no matter how thoroughly you think, it may not be true, or it may be true. You never know. So do not go by that. Nor by the seeming competence of a speaker. Not even because this speaker looks so capable and it looks like he can show his psychic powers, or even if the speaker can fly in the air. No, that is not sufficient reason to come to conclusion that this is true. Nor because you think this ascetic is my teacher. If you think this ascetic is my teacher, oh, my guru, my guruji. Still not sufficient to say, well, this is it. Then the Buddha said, Yata tum hai Kalama attanava jane yata. But when, Kalamas, you know for yourselves. Okay, the standard is attanava jane yata. You know for yourselves. The standard is you know for yourself. Then how do we know for ourselves? In many texts, the Buddha say, for example, in the first sutta, the Buddha say, Dham, yattha bhutam jnana dasanam. Seeing things as they really are, with wisdom. Seeing things as they really are with wisdom. This is a standard the Buddha requires to achieve in order to say, this is true. In order to make off, to say, my faith is established. When we see things as they really are with wisdom. Yattha bhutam jnana dasanam. When you know for yourself, these things are wholesome, good, wholesome. These things are blameless. These things are praised by the wise. These things, if accepted and undertaken, lead to welfare and happiness. So the standard is very clear. Then you should live in accordance to them. Finally, it's lead to welfare and happiness. No matter how we say, how good a teaching, a belief or anything, eventually it must lead to welfare and happiness and be free from suffering. If it leads to suffering, then it cannot be good. It should lead to, what is good should lead to good. The method should be good, the means, the way it should be good, and the result should be good. It should be happiness and welfare. So this is how we look at faith. In Buddhism, the faith should be like that. When we know with our insight. So you see, faith and wisdom comes together slowly. At the beginning, some kind of belief is necessary to do the experiment. As long as we have sufficient faith to try it out, to experiment, we can reserve whether we want to accept or not. As long as we have enough faith to try out, to experiment, that is sufficient faith for a Buddhist to start off. But after that, you can experiment, more faith will come with more realization and more wisdom. So that's why this Kalama Sutta is recognized as the charter of free inquiry. Now, this self-realization is important. How we can have this self-realization? How we can see things as they really are with wisdom? Then, in the Buddha's teaching, there are three levels. One, we say sutamaya panya, through learning. We learn about, we read about it, but this is not sufficient. According to the standard of Kalama Sutta, this is not sufficient. So sutamaya panya, through learning. Then the second, chintamaya panya, in Pali, this is Pali, the Buddha's language, which means thinking wisdom, through thinking, through contemplation, through a logical reasoning, through reasoning. We are not saying that reasoning is useless, but it is not ultimate and not sufficient. So these chintamayas also help us, thinking wisdom also help us to develop self-realization. But eventually the real self-realization comes with bhavana maya panya. Bhavana means cultivation. The realization comes with cultivation, which means direct seeing. For example, you don't say, you tell any people, I believe there's the sun and moon in the sky. No, you don't believe. You don't need to believe that. If you see, then you say, well, I see. Tomorrow morning, the sun will rise up again, for sure. Why? I know. I know it directly. So in the same way, we want to know about rebirth. We want to know whether there's a law of cause and effect. We want to know how it operates. How this nature law operates to ensure happiness for us and no suffering. So this, if we go by direct realization, self-realization, then we can know for sure that at that time we fulfill the standard, the high standard of free inquiry in Kalama Sutta. And that when we know for ourselves. So the method is very important in the Buddha's teaching. So now we come to talk about justice. Well, we have very good definitions from previous speakers. We thank them for that. In the Buddha's teaching, we have a knowledge by learning, reflection, direct knowing, and direct insight. This is the method we use, as we say. We have in the Buddha's teaching, we have a training to develop the seeing power. The seeing power. Then this is training of the mind. There are two classes of training, two big categories of training. One is samatha, tranquility meditation. Samatha meditation develops our mind so that our mind can be advanced to see beyond what the naked eyes can see. Because what we can see is only superficial. But if we can develop our insight, our wisdom eye, we can see, we have the mind power to see beyond. For example, we want to see the past and present and future lives. Is there this rebirth or not? Is there this cause and effect or not? So this samatha will develop the ability, the strength of mind to do the vipassana meditation, insight meditation. So basically these two classes of training is that samatha, you train your ability, you sharpen your mind. Vipassana, use the power you cultivate to see reality. What reality we need to see? Our life. When we talk about I, mine, you, they, what is this? When we talk about our life, we talk about we are searching for meaning of life. What is this? First, we need to know ourselves. What is life? So these things, we can specifically classify like materiality and mentality. So this materiality, how it is? Materiality, how it is? Then when we can understand and the relationship from one time frame to another time frame, when we can understand that, we understand life. And when we understand life, there's a chance to help our life. Okay, now direct seeing reality as they really are, then we have these liberating insights. So after a stage, faith and wisdom become transcend. Then you, faith and wisdom, they come together, they balance with each other. Faith balance with wisdom. If it is blind faith, you cannot develop wisdom. Okay, then you talk come to justice. In the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha, if we do not understand two classes of teaching, when we always get into confusion. For example, when at one time the Buddha talked about non-self, non-self realization. Then another time talking about loving yourself. So these things people get confused. So to understand what the Buddha teach, we need to understand what is ultimate and what is conventional. Ultimate truth, paramattha satya. Conventional truth, samuti satya. So this is a big topic. But since today we are dealing with justice, I will share the point, ultimate justice and conventional justice. So now ultimate justice. A lot of things we can talk, but I will just focus on the main one. First is karma and vipaka. Karma, or in Sanskrit, or the Hindus call it, and the Sanskrit they say karma. I think you're more familiar with the word karma or kamma. Kamma is Pali. Okay, it means the same thing. Vipaka, the result. So causes and effects. So karma, what is karma? When we speak like this, how do we speak? We speak with the mind. So what happens when we speak, the mind direct our speaking ability to speak. So after speaking, the mind that speaks arise and pass away, arise and continuous flow, but arise and pass away all the time. Then what is left behind is a karmic potency, is an imprint on our mind. You know, the mind is rising and passing away as if it is discontinued and yet actually is continued, one after another. But it's not a permanent stuff, but this is a bit difficult to talk. But anyway, the energy left behind in our mind, we say karma. And this energy or this potency is going to produce result coming to us. So this is important. Good and bad, we are going to bear the consequence. So this is karma, whatever we do, and we are going to get the vipaka. So causes and effect. So ultimately, eventually, in the long run, all will be just. If people who do good, evil doers, they are going to get their vipaka. They are going to get their result. So when they get their result, is it just or not? Natural law makes it so. Natural laws makes it so. So this is karma vipaka. Later we'll talk a bit more on that, more about that. So, and then we need to understand about rebirth. Because sometimes you don't see justice come in one lifetime. Sometimes you don't see. Sometimes because when the karma, how karma ripen, how long it takes the time to ripen, this one is a very complex. It has a simple principle, but when it comes into operation, it can be very complicated. It can sometimes take longer time and shorter time. No one can say exactly for very sure, except the Buddha. So, when it comes to this, so we need to understand rebirth. So karma operates sometimes, it takes the result ripen, sometimes in a lifetime, sometimes it may be next moment, in next hour, next day, and can be next life, or in many lives later. So life after life, the moral responsibility, natural and moral responsibility take place. Okay? Then conventional justice. conventional justice, what is that? This is for people to be able to appreciate. Because natural way, the natural laws operate in a way which common man cannot easily understand. You cannot easily see. For example, if we don't have the vision to see transcending time and space, no, if you can see, you cannot see many lifetimes. So sometimes you cannot see the karma ripen. But if you can see in the long run, you can see. But conventional justice becomes necessary. It becomes necessary. We need to have a government. We need to have for example, some people get killed in KRA too. Then our government need to take some action to catch the person and then, to take action. Why? This is a necessity. This is conventional justice. The whole idea is very simple. Because all beings, all people, we long for happiness. We loathe suffering. We don't want suffering. So this is nature for all beings, not only human beings. So we have this justice. We need to ensure justice. Starting from human world, human. Now if possible, we extend that to other beings. Because in the course of rebirth, we can be animals. Animals can be human beings and can be the devas. Now this is a planes of existence. The Buddhist cosmology. You can be a Brahma, you can be a devas, heavenly beings, and can be human, and can be the hell, wufu rains, hungry ghosts, etc. So this one. So eventually we go up and down before we get enlightenment. We have a child. So because of that, we have a love. We have the feeling that other beings, not only us, they also need happiness, they also don't want suffering. So we try to provide justice for everybody. So the justice is very practical justice. The justice to provide fair happiness and help other beings to be free from suffering. Now, so in this case, conventional justice, it is more like you try to manifest cause and effect for what? For governance, for human management, for a country. Actually, even whether we do or we don't do, ultimately, everything will be just. But it is not enough. We cannot rely on ultimate justice. Conventional justice become necessary. So we have to, for example, a government, an organization, a leader, or even as an individual, we try to manifest cause and effect for governance and management purpose. But however, there's a limitation in human capability to impose conventional justice. There are certain things that we should not do. We should not do. For example, in the Buddhist religion teaching, we should not kill. So, what happens if the killer, for a murderer, what should we do? Well, we do something to prohibit them from doing further evil. We try to put them into some punishment or some lesson, get them a lesson, give them a lesson so that they can change. But the principle is never built upon revenge or retaliation. Never. It is more like make things better. Whatever we do, action or inaction, we try to make the situation better. So not for revenge. Revenge is out of question for a Buddhist. Now, the justice is based on our heart. Compassion, loving kindness. Eventually, why do we cultivate justice? Because we love. We love all beings. Not only human beings, but all beings. Because they also need happiness. They also don't want suffering, just like we do. You look at the animal. When you kill the animal, they suffer. They have fear. Look at it. What if we were to be in that position? We have been in such a position for numerous lives in the past. And if we are not careful in numeralized in future, we are going to suffer the same. So out of love and care and sense of unity with them, a feeling of, we just feel the pain of others as we feel. We feel. When we have that feelings towards all beings, then naturally justice comes. We want them to be happy. We don't want to produce suffering for them. Then that is the best justice. Then, not only that, we have justice for evildoers. We have justice even for the wrongdoers. We need to have justice for them. Why? In the Buddha's teaching, one important aspect is paticca-samuppada, dependent origination. So for the dependent origination, understanding, actually even the wrongdoers, even the ignorance, even their hatred, even their greed, is not without reason. It's also conditioned by the past. Sometimes conditioned by the background, past background, sometimes broken family, etc. So, we try to understand the evildoers and try to feel love for them and try to save them and help them. So if you have that feeling, you have justice for them. Yes, we need to take some action for conventional justice. We need to manifest some cause and effect. But eventually, whatever we do, we should not do with a sense of hatred, but we want to make things better, action or inaction. So as the time is up, and I wouldn't go too much further into details, and in the Buddha's teaching, we have one important principle. We say, come and see, ahipassiko. So it is not about you have to do, you have to believe, and if you don't believe, what will happen to you? No. Come and see. Come and experiment until you see for yourselves. You see the truth as clear as just a rebirth and cause and effect, as clear as you see the sun and moon and stars in the sky. At that time, you will know. So this is what I'll conclude that, and I wish everybody a very good day, and have hopefully this sharing will be beneficial to all of you. Thank you very much for your attention.